This episode of the Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com and enter the code GYM to get $5 off your first order. Be sure to check it out. They are great. Go over to harrys.com and enter the code GYM to get $5 off your first order. Thanks, Harry's.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. And I'm extremely excited about this show because of our topic and our guest. Now, we haven't done this for quite a while, and I'm very excited to have Darkness Dave, Dave Schrader, on the line. Of course, you know him as the host of the very popular Darkness Radio radio program. Of course, many time guest host of Coast to Coast AM. Also, he is a location scout for Ghost Adventurers and just all around Mr. Paranormal himself. And today we're going to talk about the Mandela effect. And this is where people report all over the world having had false memories that suddenly things change. You know, Berenstain Bears is spelled one way in their memory, and then they look and it's spelled some other way. Nelson Mandela, many people remember him dying years and years ago in a South African prison, but then he's alive and he becomes a president and a worldwide icon and leader. So people having these differing memories, are we on separate timelines? Are we in a multiverse? Well, Darkness Dave has done a lot of work on this and a lot of programs on, so we thought we'd have him on, and so glad he's here. Dave, welcome to the program today.
Hey, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
So, I don't know about you, Dave, but some of the topics that I love in the kind of stuff that we do are not only ghosts and UFOs and the stuff, you know, that's pretty well documented, but the head scratchers, things that just defy any kind of explanation. And the Mandela effect is one of them. What's its appeal for you, and how have you explored it on your programs?
Well, you know, off air, we were chatting about Fiona Broom, who had coined this phrase. Prior to that, a few years prior, we had done a show on our radio show, Darkness Radio, and we entitled it, Who Brought Kirk Douglas Back from the Dead? Mm-hmm. And I had talked about the fact that I had a very vivid memory of Kirk Douglas suffering a massive stroke. And then shortly thereafter, a few months later, he passed away. And I remember the news conferences with Michael Douglas, his son, and I remember specifics about that news conference. And I was amazed how many people had the exact same memories that I had. And of course, Kirk Douglas is, I think, 99 years old right now, still alive. He did suffer a debilitating stroke,
right. But
he is still very much alive. But I was fascinated with the idea of how can I have such a deeply entrenched memory, because I was a fan of Kirk Douglas. And yep. I remember it was shortly after he had done the movie with Burt Lancaster, Tough Guys.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a great movie.
Right. And, I thought, oh, this is a great movie. Glad to see a guy like that still around. And then I think it was a few years later that he suffered this stroke right. And then died shortly after. And, I'm a fan of old cinema and I love old movies, and I was a fan of Kirk Douglas. So I remember that being a fixed point in my timeline. But yet here, the guy is still alive and like I said, doing well, as well as he can. How is this possible? And then when we opened that Pandora's box and started hearing from different people around the world, sharing their stories, it became more and more fascinating. And of course, then you brought up the Berenstain Bears dichotomy that's going on. And I'm one of those that remember it being Berenstain Bears when
Me
I
too.
Grew up.
Me too.
And I remember I grew up in a Lutheran grade school at Trinity Lutheran. And I always thought it was something to do with maybe it was a book about the Jewish faith and it was bears that were teaching, you know, those kind of things. I never picked up one of them when I was a kid, but I remember thinking that it was a very, you know, a Jewish sounding name on the bears. And that's why it stuck out to me so much. And then to see that other people remember that version of the name, but when you research it, it's always been Berenstain Bears and in a totally different vibe and feel to it. But again, I can tie a memory back to that because I remember the specific thought process that went behind it when I was a kid seeing the name of the book. And when you start looking at this process and you start looking, now I understand our minds are fallible. We're very easily manipulated, and the Jedi mind trick is alive and well. And, you know, I'm sure we've all played it on people at one time or another where we insist something happens, trying to get ourselves out of trouble, and somebody invariably will go along and yeah, I remember that. And, you know, boom, you're trying to, you know, get out of the situation you're in. But when you have a global scale version of this going on and people remembering different aspects, that's where I started to get fascinated. And I think the reason that so many of us remember these moments with celebrities is because they're important. They play a key part in most of our lives with fond memories or terrifying memories, you know, depending on who the actor or actress was. So I think that that's why it's much easier to remember celebrities that we remember passing or taking, you know, going away. I just came across, and I'm trying to, for the life of me, remember. Oh, perfect example. When I started my fascination with radio as a mm-hmm. as a kid, I reached out to WGN in Chicago, and Roy Leonard was one of my favorite talk show hosts. And Roy Leonard was such a kind man, and he opened his doors to me and allowed me to come into the studio and sit and watch him do his show. And during breaks, he would let me ask questions of him and whatever guest he had on.
Wow. And that's neat.
It was so fascinating that this guy was just such a sweetheart and would let me do that. And Larry Lujack from WLS, another mm-hmm. big name talk radio host out there. Larry Lujack also was very open and allowed to speak to me or allowed me to speak to him and give me advice on radio. And when I went into college and started at KQAL, I reached out to both men and they both returned phone calls and were very kind towards me doing that. And, you know, year after year, I would check in on them to see how they're doing online. And I remember checking not even a year ago regarding Roy Leonard, and Roy was living in a convalescent home in the Illinois area still, and his wife had passed away. And I popped on again just the other day, right after I spoke to you about, I'd be happy to talk to you about the things we've learned on the show. And lo and behold, I find an article in all nation, and now it's 3 years.
We lost a little bit on Skype there. Did you say it passed 3 years ago?
Yeah, he passed, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. But I remember specifically within the last year reading that he was in a convalescence home.
Well, I've got one for you. And this one blew my mind because you go on, you see the memes and people list out some of these. And Field of Dreams, to me, I hear a lot of people. In fact, I just heard it, quote, misquoted on sports radio this week. I always thought the line was, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
Well, apparently the line is, if you build it, he will come. Now, I don't know when he became they. And even if you look online here, I'm seeing different images. A lot of people, it says, if you build it, they will come. And that's what I always thought it was, talking about this ball field in the cornfield. But apparently in the movie, it's actually, if you build it, he will come. And that's when I guess a lot of people are hearing out there these days.
Right. Well, movie lines are famous for that. You know, Play It Again, Sam was not really the line that was said in Casablanca. You know, it was something more along the lines of, you played it for her, now you can play it for me, play it, Sam. But people remember it specifically as Play It Again, Sam. You know, there's many movie lines like that are often misquoted. In those situations, I can see how people can make a mistake, because if you hear it enough or you misquote it enough, you know, and there are movies I remember specific lines from that I grew up, Animal House, Caddyshack. And it's amazing when you go back and watch them with somebody else and you throw the line out before it happens and you're off by 2 or 3 words and you're like, that's impossible.
Right.
I knew that. But, you know, the mind, again, is fallible and we make these mistakes. Now, one of the stories I got, Jim, that was really intriguing to me was a woman that had, she was kind of the office gopher. She, and I know she'll hate that if she's listening to this episode, but I can't think of the proper term, but she was the one who would always go for the cakes when it was birthday time or sympathy cards and so on and so forth. And she was talking about how one of her office mates was pregnant and, you know, she was about to have the baby and she had gone out and, you know, got the stuff ready for it and was very, you know, positive for this woman because she knew what she had gone through before, having been pregnant a few years earlier and having lost the child. And as it was getting closer, she made a comment to the woman, you know, this must be a big relief. Things going so well this time. And she says, well, what do you mean well this time? She goes, well, you know, considering you lost the baby last time early on. And she said, I've never lost a baby. This is the first time I've ever been pregnant.
Oh my.
And she said, no, you lost a baby a few years ago. And she remembers being the one to go out to get the sympathy card that the entire office signed. And she was the one that gave her the sympathy card. And she said, Dave, I feel like I'm losing my mind here. How is it possible that I have this ingrained memory? And, you know, she was embarrassed, of course, by bringing it up to this woman and getting this response of, no, I've never been pregnant. This has never happened. I'm, you know, this is my first time. We're very excited.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, and that was just a few of the type of examples where these things keep popping up. But while we were chatting about this, I started asking people that were sending in emails about this, and I would send them a simple response back. And I said, I just have one question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a near-death experience? And what I found was in about 80 to 85% of the responses I got, they all had had a near-death experience. Huh. Now, I don't necessarily mean you saw the tunnel, but, you know, you were at a point in your life when something did. Should have been. And I thought, well, isn't that fascinating? So looking at the idea of quantum mechanics and quantum theory, and if there are these parallel universes that exist, these side-by-side parallel universes, each one for the different choice we didn't take. I wonder, you know, according to the Bible, we're allowed to live this long, rich, happy life. Maybe we do get that life, but it's not linear. Maybe it's like a stepping stool. And in every lifetime that ends, our consciousness rolls over into the lifetime next to it.
Is it almost like a save game in a video game? You know, you fall off the Mario falls off the cliff and then you start a new game.
Right. And your consciousness, instead of being reborn as a baby and coming through, your consciousness just steps, you know, a jump to the left and then a step to the right and bam, you're into the body that you're inhabiting in another reality. And it's very close, very similar to ours, but there are subtle changes like Berenstain, like the fact that, you know, in this reality, Kirk Douglas is very much alive. Was there just subtle changes and differences throughout that we were able to see and maintain? And as I started talking about that, I got more and more flashback from people that, you know, even ones that dealt with, you know, near-death experiences, which weren't, again, the classic near-death experience where they died and came back, but, you know, I was driving in this car and I got into this accident. I should not have survived. And I remember blacking out for a few seconds. When I came back, I was so discombobulated. I just thought it was from the car accident, but I came back and I just felt like something was wrong. Like I wasn't where I was supposed to be. This wasn't how this happened, but I couldn't put my finger on what exactly occurred. So, wow. I started looking at some of these people and when they had specific times, and it was fascinating to me. A lot of the people that had this memory of Kirk Douglas had near-death experiences around the time I did. So it's fascinating to me that did we all jump the timeline at the same point, and that's why we have these memories. Could that be it? And then, you know, as we could progress through life, that decision to drink too much at college, did it end disastrously in one timeline and you continue on in the next timeline? You know, that time you jumped off the bridge and narrowly missed a rock, did you maybe not miss that rock the next time, you know, in the parallel universe behind you and you've moved over one? And I know that sounds like a leap and it's strange, but if you start looking at the aspects of why people have these fractured memories that are so vivid and clear, and sometimes feel out of place in the life that they're in, which a lot of people I've spoken to do. They feel this kind of strange disconnect. So it's left me wondering what more is going on besides just hiccups in our system or a glitch in the matrix? Is there something more to the way our lives are lived? Yeah, which I think might explain ghosts, and we can go into that a little bit more as the show progresses here.
Absolutely, and your timing is perfect because now we have to go to a break, but we'll be back right after this with Darkness Dave himself, Dave Schrader. We're talking about the Mandela Effect and all of the implications it entails. We'll be back right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. This episode of the Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Harry's, a fantastic razor blade, a fantastic shaving experience. And let me tell you a little story. Just a week or two ago, got a note from a listener, an email from a listener saying, thank you for turning me on to Harry's. It's the best shave I've ever had, the best deal I've ever had. It's more convenient. I love Harry's. And that's not the first. We've had quite a few notes like that. And when you think about that, somebody takes the time to email me concerning a sponsor of the program. What does that say? That says that it's a great product. And if you're in the market for a better shaving experience, I couldn't think of a better place to turn than Harry's.com. Because Harry's makes high-quality, high-performance German blades crafted by shaving experts. It is the best shave that I have ever had, and Harry's is factory direct, so the blades are about half the price of the leading brands. Harry's ships right to your doorstep, so you don't have to wait for the help at the drugstore to come with a big ring of keys to unlock the plexiglass counter. So it's like you're making a $1,000 purchase. No, they just come to your door. All of that inconvenience is gone. And I'm not the only one. Over 1 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. The website is streamlined and easy to use. It takes less than 30 seconds to place an order, and they have a great customer service experience. I love the way they send it. It's boxed up. You get a razor handle with a great look and feel. It's got a nice heft to it. I like that. I'm kind of old school that way. Extra razor blades and shave cream, which smells great. Now, why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at Harry's? For example, the Harry Starter Set. It's called the Truman. It's a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's 5-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with the code JIM. Again, $5 off your first purchase, your first order, with the code JIM. That's HARRYS.com, and use that code JIM, J-I-M. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Thanks, Harry's. We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest is Darkness Dave Schrader, radio host par excellence. You know him from Darkness Radio, of course. Many appearances as a guest host on the mothership, Coast to Coast AM. And today we're talking about a fascinating subject, the Mandela Effect. And I love this kind of save game theory, I guess you could call it, this idea, because I think all of us could point to parts in our lives or times. You point out about, you hit the rock with your head the one time, you don't on the next timeline. I can specifically remember in my early 20s when I ended up, I know that's your phone vibrating. It sounds like we have an electric razor back there. But anyway.
Sorry, my phone is going crazy. I don't get calls all day.
See, that's what it is. The Mandela effect is pushing back on us. But anyway. But I'm going to fight through here, Dave. I'm going to get through this sentence. Anyway, please. I remember in my early 20s, I lived in a so-so neighborhood and rented half of a house. And my soon-to-be wife within a few years and I went to Cedar Point here, the big amusement park, came back. Long story short, I ended up staying at her parents overnight, which I was vehemently against. But she said, you have to. You sleep on the couch. I'll ask my dad. Because you're going to fall asleep and die. Now, you could think, well, maybe I would have fallen asleep that, but here's what really weird that happened. I got back to my house, which I had actually told the landlord I was leaving to move to a little better area that week, and the house had been shot up with an AK-47. Thank you very much. Wow. And I have a piece of shrapnel and pictures to prove it. And apparently there was somebody at next door who had crossed a motorcycle gang, and that gang did not take well to it. So they shot up the blue house. Unfortunately, they shot up the wrong blue house. They shot up the dark blue house, not the light blue house. and my double door refrigerator and my microwave, which I proudly bought a few months earlier as my first appliance purchase as a young man, took a direct hit. But luckily I didn't. But I could see in the Mandela effect, a different Jim did take a direct hit and started over in another timeline. That's a fascinating theory.
Well, another one of the theories, too, is I'm sure you've discussed on your show the 100 monkey theory, correct?
I believe we talked about it, yes.
Right. For listeners that may not be familiar, it's a pretty interesting piece of science, right? Is the fact that they've watched monkeys in their natural habitat. And they'll notice that when 100 monkeys will end up doing the same action, it suddenly spreads around the world like an epidemic. If a monkey grabs a stick and sticks it into an anthill to use it as like a fork, and so the ants will climb up and then he'll strip it and eat the ants off, but they've never done that before. The minute they've noticed the 100th monkey doing it, suddenly it's like every monkey picks up a stick and sticks it into the anthill. It's this global consciousness that comes into effect.
So, collective consciousness, yeah.
Right. What we may be looking at is a collective consciousness memory that is a false memory, that there is a few of us that remember distinctly when Kirk Douglas had his stroke and mistook it for him dying. And that consciousness and that hiccup was enough to cause a disturbance in the consciousness. And many of us downloaded that information as the death instead of just the stroke. So there may be that aspect of it as well, this kind of 100 monkey string that runs through our consciousness. And we all start, you know, a portion of us that maybe resonate on the same vibrational line. If you buy into that, you know, why some of us are more connected to others than we are. It could be that some of us are just vibrating in that same tonality and we pick up that false memory easier. We're plugged into that aspect of the ethereal internet and it comes to us. And that may be why some of us have memories that others don't. We're just kind of open to this, which is scary when you think about it, because if enough people believe something and believe it ardently, even though it's false, that could spread like a virus, causing false memories, causing false anger, imagery. That's why I'm always so cautious when it comes to conspiracies. If there's enough of us that think about it and put ourselves in that position, are we enacting a global conscious ripple and fear and putting ourselves into a constant state of fear because of that? I'm fascinated by conspiracy and conspiracy theories, but again, I often worry about how does that affect things overall when we're all connected and we have this energetic flow between us and to this Akashic records or whatever you want to refer to it as. Could it be that we're affecting the way people feel around the world and believe things because enough people believe it and that resonance reflects in others that are on that same tonal vibration?
To your point, if you think about something like Nazi Germany, you think, how could a people be so fooled and deceived as to buy into the evil thoughts of the master race and racial purity and killing of millions of innocent people? How could a historically a great people, a very intelligent people, the German people, very industrious, how could they be fooled essentially by one man? And actually, this theory, this idea plays into that it becomes like a mass consciousness. So it's almost like a hypnotism that once it catches fire, it spreads. And the consequences might not just be Berenstain versus Berenstain. It might be a world war and the killing of innocent millions of innocent people.
Very well could be. And that's why I find this whole topic fascinating, right? Is it opens up every time you start to think you're grasping a concept, you realize just how slippery it is and how it opens up doors to 100 different possibilities. And when you start researching, you know, that's part of my problem. I don't know if you have this, Jim, but when I get into a subject, I'll start chasing it down the rabbit hole. Sometimes I have to pull myself back out and go, wow, I could take this place to a really dark, weird place.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't reel it back.
The whole thing about all of this stuff that we do, and I'm sure you've had a similar experience because we've been at this similar amounts of time, is that when I first started with all this, I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm going to interview Stanton Friedman, Brad Steiger, and, you know, the big names in the paranormal. And I'm going to have this all figured out in 6 months. I got to tell you, I am more convinced than ever that something is going on in these various categories. But I also am more convinced than ever it's all somehow connected. And I have more questions than I ever had today than I had from day one. But the other thing I will say is I'm convinced that the universe is a far stranger place than we can put a handle on. There's something going on that is just beyond our reasoning that is so wild. And I keep going back to the Plato's allegory of the cave. I guess it's Plato. The idea that we're chained to this wall and we're looking at these reflections on the wall of a cave, and we really are just grasping at straws. We have no idea what's going on. And that's what sometimes, you know, and I love science and I respect science. And geez, without science, we couldn't do our jobs. There's all this amazing technology with our smartphones and our Skype and our podcasting and everything we do, even radio. That's science, even though it's, it's 100, 150 years old. But regardless, science, we couldn't do what we do without science. However, when I get these literal materialistic people who say, hey, we know what the score is and we understand all of this, I'm like, no, you don't understand all of this because none of us understand all of it. It's just, I think it's from the movie JFK. It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle. And it really is a mind bender. It really is, all of this.
Right. Well, and, I think that's because our brains are trying to make sense of the anarchy and the chaos of the world around us. And we want to follow something. We want someone to tell us it's all going to be all right or help us with our decisions. And I think that that's why people follow so blindly in a lot of ways or feel that they know all the answers, because to them, if you don't know all the answers and the concepts, you know, you've lost control. You've lost that part of you. And, there's something to be said for that, but you watch, as you were talking about, why would all of these people follow someone like Hitler in something that we on the outside world would see as so heinous and full of hatred? And who could logically make sense of this? Well, there's a great reference in one of the Superman comics. Lex Luthor is the hero of his own story. To him, he's trying to protect the world from this alien threat that could go rogue at any time and take us down. How do we contain this God? How do we stop this problem, this potential problem, before it gets bad, instead of looking to solve it when he's out of control? What can we do to have in place so if that ever takes place? And you often wonder how many of these people are the heroes of their own story. What was the real rhetoric that he was posing to his people? And as people, we want to follow something. We want to believe in something and have faith and leadership that tells us it's the right thing. And, if you've ever done any shows with psychics and mediums, people call in and what do they want? Should I be with this boyfriend? I think he's cheating on me, but I really love him. Well, everybody is listening is going, yes, leave him. Are you nuts? But people want to have somebody make that decision for them. They want to feel like there's some other grand scheme. And if you say, yes, your grandmother's here and she says, get the hell away. Okay, well, I made this decision because grandma told me to. Instead of using your own logic, you're looking for leadership and a path to follow from somebody greater than you. I think that that's what falls into this. And then looking at these disruptions in time, I mean, the scarring effect. And I think that's why hauntings occur. Jeff Belanger, our good friend, he said mm-hmm. that ghosts are history's way of reminding us of where we came from. They're an important part of history as well, because if we don't have the ghosts there to remind us of those moments, they're going to pass and we'll forget the atrocities and we'll forget the heinous things that took place at these locations, at the hospitals where they were, putting a ice pick up through the eyeball into the brain and tapping at parts of the brain in a way to try to curb people's mental illnesses. That sounds insane to us on the outside, right? But you're doing these atrocious things and it imprints in the timeline, and that vibration is felt, you know, kind of continues on.
And it's continuing on with your phone.
Right. I'm getting the vibration right now.
Well, yeah, you were mentioning this idea of imprints. One of the most fascinating stories along that line, and I know we're getting a little away from the Mandela effect, but again, I think all of this stuff is connected. But with the Mandela, with the imprints, Lloyd Auerbach, and I'm sure that you've spoken to Lloyd before,
sure.
And he's extremely erudite. He's one of the smartest people in this stuff, and he has a great appreciation for the history and so forth. But he was doing some work, I guess, for the old TV show called Sightings, if you remember that from the 90s. Sure. And he was doing some work of this location where there had been a murder that had taken place, and people would see the murder replayed, and they would see the murderer and the murderee, I guess the victim, and they would see this, they would report this replaying. Now, that would sound like kind of a classic imprint, ghost imprint, except there was one little wrinkle. The murderer was not dead. He was alive, and he was on death row. So that brings a whole new idea to it, is that some way psychic energy can imprint itself on a place in such a strong way that you see this kind of replay. It has nothing to do with the person being dead, but somehow that environment was charged in such a way, in such a strong emotional way, that you see these kind of replays that extends to hospitals and asylums and so forth and so on.
I agree. I mean, and that's one of the fascinating tales when you hear about the residual hauntings. I often, and I wrote an article about this and it appeared in Taps Paramag a few years ago. The title was, Are We Haunting Ourselves? And, you know, I liken it to, all right, you live with your grandma. Every night, grandma watches the news and then goes into the kitchen. You hear the clinking of her teacup and then up the stairs into the bathroom. You hear the toilet flush, then into her room and the sound of her bed creaking as she gets into bed. And tonight, you're laying there. You kind of wake up and you hear the clinking of the sink, you hear the bathroom flush, you hear the bed creak, and you go back to sleep and wake up a few hours later, maybe to go to the bathroom. You look down there and grandma's still sitting in the couch watching TV, but she's sound asleep. Well, you know, she's alive, so we'll automatically assume that what occurred was, you know, she must have gotten back up and we didn't hear it, and she went down to watch TV because she couldn't sleep.
Right.
But perhaps we were hearing that residual effect all along. Now you remove somebody from that picture and suddenly it's a ghost and that's taking place. But if we're, you know, if we're doing the same patterns constantly and we're leaving that mark in time and space, then, you know, even if it's something mundane like going to bed, that's why I've always been fascinated. And again, kind of in the same Mandela effect, that what is reality aspect. I have this great haunting story. I heard these guys said, listen, you know, my grandmother and grandfather bought this plot of land. It was not Native American land. There was no former burial ground there. There's nothing. They built this house, had this house there. And then a few years before my grandmother passed, she was sitting in her living room watching Jeopardy or whatever. And she saw these three shadowy figures walk into the room, turn and look at her, and then they ran out of the room. And suddenly grandma's house is haunted, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Everybody shares this story of what grandma saw in this house, and her house is haunted. Nothing new had been introduced. There was no refurbishing. There was no burial grounds. There was no reason for these ghosts to appear. Yet, years later, grandma had passed away, and the guy and his two buddies come walking into the living room, and lo and behold, sitting there in the chair is the ghost of his grandmother. They all looked at each other, looked at her, and ran out of the room. So, through the looking glass, was she seeing them from the future, this moment in time just careened and rubbed against each other, and we saw this because, you know, the location is the same.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the theoretics of time travel, that this place that I'm sitting in will always exist and always has and always will exist, whether it was dinosaur fodder at one point and a Indian burial ground at another, and now a townhouse in Minnesota, and someday perhaps the site of a lunar module training school or whatever, you know, it'll always exist in this place. So that would mean that, like the layers of a book, if you look at the back cover of a book, the top cover of the book being the end of time, the bottom cover of the book being the beginning of time, and everything between it are the different layers of what took place in that exact same space, it would only make sense that once in a while there'll be a bleed through. So who haunted grandma that day? Possibly the guy and his two friends when they walked into the living room, right. And bam, they saw grandma sitting in the chair.
Excellent point. A lot of excellent points. Interesting food for thought on today's Paranormal Podcast. Our guest is Dave Schrader. We'll be back right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Just a quick note to let you know that there is a great summer sale going on for my Paranormal Plus Club. Now, what is the Paranormal Plus Club? Well, if you enjoy these free programs, it's where you can go and get a lot more, almost 1,200 additional podcasts that are not available on the free feed. That includes over 400 episodes of the classic Paranormal Podcast episodes, over 200 episodes of the classic Campfire episodes, exclusive content and podcasts that have never been a part of the free feed, including Ghost Insight, UFO Encounters, The Other Side, Conspiracy Corner, The Crime Scene, Ancient Mysteries on the Air. It also includes video webinars that are archived from the likes of David Weatherly on Black Eyed Kids and Tulpas, Rosemary Ellen Guiley on Communicating with the Dead, Peter Robbins on UFOs, Janet Boyer on tarot cards. There's so much there for you waiting at jimherold.net. And now is a perfect time because you get $25 off a yearly subscription. And that discount continues as long as you are a good member in good standing. Or a bad member in good standing. A member in good standing, I should say. So check it out, please, at jimherold.net. A $25 discount on an already low price for a year of content. We're adding more every month. 8 exclusive new podcasts every month that are not on the free feed. Plus, we do meet and greets. I did one last night, a virtual meet and greet, and we have these webinars as well. I think you'll like it. Check it out at jimherold.net and click on the summer sale banner. Thanks. We're back on the Paranormal Podcast with our guest, Darkness Dave Schrader, radio host par excellence, and our guest today. We're talking about the Mandela Effect and associated topics. Now, Dave, one of the more maddening things about this effect is I think that everybody, particularly the Berenstain Bears thing, yeah, I bet you that many, many people, when they heard this and said, no, it was Berenstain Bears, I bet they ran to their closet or their attic to see the books and to be vindicated and then to find out that they were wrong. The thing about this is, if this does happen, it changes all the reference points, everything that's in print, everything that's on the internet, maybe fellow friends and family members' memories themselves. So in a way, there's no way to catch it if it is in fact happening. There's no way to say, there's no smoking gun out there. You're not going to find a magazine from 1987 that says Berenstain Bears. You're always going to find Berenstain Bears. That's one of the interesting things about this. It's kind of like a catch-22. There's no way to prove it, I don't think.
Well, but therein lies another aspect of this. Could it have been, you know, and I was of the age of getting those Scholastic, you know, book deals in the mail, or, you know, at school they'd give them to us, we could order books. Could it have been something as simple as a mistypo when we were kids, you know, and they spelled it the wrong way in the book order forms, and that's how we remember seeing it. And that was enough to supplant the real name of it. You know, it could have been something just as simple as that. Now, one other point that, you know, talking about the Mandela Effect and these false memories, here's a great example, as you say, and it's something that frustrated the living hell out of me. Life magazine did a big article regarding the UFOs over Washington, which took place, I think, in 52.
That's
somewhere
right.
Around
that's right. I'm pretty sure it's 52. Yes.
Right. Now, and for those listeners that aren't familiar with this, there were UFOs. Everybody always says, well, if there's really aliens and UFOs, why don't they just fly over the White House? Or they did. It's documented. There's photographic proof. There's stories regarding it. There's, you cannot deny it. And I remember seeing the Life magazine with UFOs over Washington on the cover. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at that and thinking how amazing that was. And then I was looking for that issue because I wanted to get it to frame for my wall at home, and I couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. And I'm like, I'm not nuts here. I remember this. And I put out a call. Does anybody else remember this magazine? And I had people from around the world. Yeah, I remember this. I've got a copy of it. I know I do. Let me look for it. And they can't find it either. You know why? Because the copy with that article features Marilyn Monroe on the cover. And about 20 pages in is the article about UFOs over Washington, D.C. Now, how strange is that? And I remember vividly it on the cover of the magazine. So there's, you know, I mean, there was another strange hiccup, which, and again, when you think about it, it makes no sense. You have UFOs hanging up over Washington, D.C. Why would that be an article 20 pages into a magazine and not on the cover? Why would Marilyn Monroe, a normal photograph of Marilyn, supersede UFOs flying over the White House?
Yeah, you know, I thought that I thought it was on the cover too. And I just, as you were talking, I just Googled it. And sure enough, you see a picture here of Marilyn Monroe.
Yep. It is not the way that we recall it.
And but is somebody messing with us? Is somebody messing with us? Is something messing with us? Is, you know, whoever's controlling the quote matrix, you know, recently, and it'll actually come out before this interview comes out. I have an interview with David Icke, who, you know, it's really an out there theory. Is somebody messing with us? Are we being controlled in ways we can't even imagine? That brings about the whole conspiracy thing again. So you get into something like the Mandela effect, which seems weird but straightforward, but then the implications are greater. We talked about ghosts. We talked about near-death experiences. Then you talk about, are we being controlled about, or I'm talking about, are we being controlled by mind-manipulating reptilians? I mean, it really does open up a whole Pandora's box of mind-bending stuff.
Right. And you know, it all comes down to the core of what is our brain capable of? What are our memories capable of? How many of us have woken up from a nightmare? And all day long, you know, in the nightmare, we saw the death of a loved one or witnessed it. And there was nothing we could do. And we mourned it. And, you know, I had a dream like this with one of my children, and I cried and cried, woke up in tears, sobbing. And I was able to reach down, grab my son, hold him and cuddle him to my chest, and he's fine. But all day long, yep, I could not shake that feeling,
yep,
that memory of what happened. And that's how intense the brain works and how strong the mind and memory is. As a matter of fact, that dream I had of my son is more memorable to me than a lot of regular memories I've had with him.
Right.
And you can't, you know, the brain cannot always separate between a real and a vividly imaginative experience. So that's why it's, you know, you have to be cautious when having these moments, but, you know, examining them is interesting. And like you said, are we going to find proof that this doesn't, can we go out and find that? I think there was a great Twilight Zone episode about that, where this guy was just being erased from time. Right. And everything and anything he could find to prove who he was would vanish within moments, you know, packages of photographs, things like that, that would just be there 1 minute and not the next, an ID that was blank when he looked at it. You know, there's a great story, and I'm sure you probably have heard it and can look it up much faster than I'll remember it. But another one of those kind of head scratching stories where a guy got off a plane, and I want to say it was in like Japan or Thailand, something like that, and had a very weird looking passport.
Yes, and I've heard of this.
There were stamps in there from countries and cities that did not exist. And the guy got off the plane confused and not sure what was going on. He had currency that wasn't a real currency, IDs that didn't match up with a known location, a passport. But that means he had to have gotten on that plane from somewhere where they checked that information. They took this guy and kept him in seclusion until they could figure it out, and put him in a hotel room that was guarded. And I think it was over a matter of a couple of days. And then when they finally went to go get him out, he was gone. And as was all the documentation. And this was a reported news story. This was something that happened. Where did this guy come from? Was there just this hiccup in a timeline? Did we pop over back and forth? You know, which is, again, kind of leading back into that Mandela effect. How closely are we resonating next to the universe or parallel dimension next to us, and how much of that is visible? And a lot of people that follow characters like Chupacabra or Bigfoot, Yeti, will say that perhaps it's an interdimensional creature, and that's why we're seeing it, and then its footprints are there, you're tracking it, and then the footprints are gone. And it seems to have just vanished into thin air, because maybe it did. Maybe it was a ghosting effect of this dimension, you know, touching one another. And for that brief second, you got a window into that reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the string theory is that time is not linear. It does not go from A to Z. It's this big, you know, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly ball of stuff, right? And the string is constantly undulating. And maybe that's why, when you think about it, Jim, when I ask you, when most people see ghosts, what era of ghosts do they see?
I would say probably, what, the 1800s, 1900s?
Right. Isn't it interesting that all of history and most of the ghosts that are witnessed are between the 1800s to 1900s? Well, maybe that's because the timelines of 1800 to 1920 are overlaying 2006 to 2016. And at some point, it'll start to undulate away, and the next timelines that we'll touch will be 1925 to 1985, and we'll start seeing parachute pants ghosts and and the Fonz ghost. And we don't really see, you don't see 50s ghosts. You don't see hippies ghosts. It's so rare that those stories are reported. And I'm left wondering why. And then it also makes sense of why those hauntings eventually fade, because as the timelines break apart and touch another timeline, perhaps it's at that point we begin to see through the window of that experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost to a point, you know, I ask researchers, do you think that we'll ever come up with an answer to this stuff? And I've had a couple surprise me and say, yeah, I think we're going to get closer and we're going to figure it out. I don't know. I mean, I think even over the last, and you would know, over the last 10 or 11 years, I think maybe there's a little more sophistication. I mean, people who really are into this stuff are asking maybe a little bit different questions. I don't even think the phrase existed. People weren't talking necessarily about the Mandela effect 10 years ago. I think that among people who have gone upon the layer of just, oh, ghosts are somebody who has died. Some people have gone beyond that and are looking for alternate explanations. So maybe we're getting closer, but I'm not convinced we're ever going to find an answer to any of this. But I guess part of the struggle and part of the joy of it is asking the questions and bringing up these different ideas.
Exactly. And, you know, it's fun. If you go back, and thankfully Amazon and places like that have gone to somebody has gone to the trouble of putting up old books from the 1800s, and you can find some of the old original ghost investigation books and things like that. And some of them are free. You could just download them and read them on your Kindles and electronic devices. And it's funny to see some of their theories and ideas and then realize where we are in 2016, a couple hundred years later, and nothing's really changed. We're still testing similar theories and playing in certain fields that just don't make sense. You know what I mean? It's like, you would think we would have made greater leaps and strides, because look at, you know, we went from the Wright brothers to space in a very short amount of time. As a matter of fact, I think it's Buzz Aldrin that got to shake hands with one of the Wright brothers.
That would make sense. That would work. Yeah.
Wrap your head around that. The first people to go in a plane, the first plane, they got to shake hands with the first people that went to outer space. It's not that short, you know, it's not that big a gap, but neither is what we've really done in understanding this. Now, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about these different aspects and what are we doing to investigate. You know, what fascinates me more is actually the older stories, because right now when you explore aspects of ghosts or the paranormal, there are a lot of natural phenomenon things that we have to look at and we have to dismiss. But what about when Tesla and Edison were working with radios? What about the fact that when they were first starting this and pioneering this, they were hearing things? They were hearing voices. That's why Edison believed that eventually there could be a telephone to the dead. If we could figure out the right frequency, we might actually get contact. And it's because they were doing it. And how about, you know, other EVP experts and Raw Dive and people like that? You know, one of the first EVPs was, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was recording bird song.
Oh, yes. I've heard about this. Yeah.
Right. And all it was he was trying to get birds, and he would get these voices of relatives and friends and people he knew that were nowhere near him that were coming through on these recordings. And it existed somewhere. Well, does it exist within and around us? Are we nothing more than a DNA storage bank and a memory bank of ideas, concepts, beliefs that have been passed down and from wherever we're coming from? And I've often wondered too, to even take you down a weirder rabbit hole, when we hear these stories of reincarnation, And I don't know where you stand on it. I vacillate often. Sometimes I'm totally a believer that we must be reincarnated, because there are some people that have such insane memories that you can actually go back and find the places
right.
they're talking about.
And sometimes the people, I mean, the young man, I think his name was James Leininger.
Yeah, James Leininger. Yeah, from Soul Survivor is the name of the book.
Yeah.
We interviewed him on Darkness Radio. What an amazing story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a young man who claimed to be a
World War II fighter pilot.
Yeah. And then they could go back and verify these things. And the little kid would have had no way of knowing it. And even if somebody says, well, it's a hoax, it's the parents. I think the parents would have had a hard time finding some of that information if they were nefarious in any way. So it really does make you think. And I'm like you.
Especially when he unfolds the map and the son points to a spot on the map and says, this is where I was shot down. And they alert the Japanese authorities, and the Japanese people go out and look, and they find James. I can't remember his original name. It was also a James, but find James Leininger's plane down in that water. And they find it exactly where he said it would be. You know, it's one thing to build a hoax around an idea, but when you can actually pinpoint moments in time, like this is where I went down, how would this family even begin to know that?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like you. A lot of times I'm like, yeah, this has got to be the case. And I'm like, well, no, you know, how does the math work? You know, that kind of thing. But you were going to make a point about that.
Well, yeah, is again, coming through consciousness when we are born, when we are given this moment, how do we know that James Leininger just wasn't resonating at that same vibrational tone that the original James was? And that he wasn't really the reincarnation, but he was working as a radio, and he was picking up the frequency and the memories that were stored there and assumed, because we understand and we believe in reincarnation as a people, that we pigeonhole it. Then we take it and we put it into a compartment that makes sense for us. Well, the only way you can know this is because he is that person, when in fact, it may just be as simple as he is just tuning into that radio frequency and having the memories and those flashes of somebody else that once existed. And that may explain how multiple people can believe themselves to have been Marilyn Monroe or John Kennedy or Elvis Presley.
Yep.
Right. Is the fact that maybe they're just resonating at that same tone and they're picking up those little bits and memories because that's where they exist in that same level. And as they get older and the tone changes, they don't hear that tone anymore. They don't pick up on that. And like James Leininger, he said, after they went and visited that site and he gave his moment of grief and everything like that, and he changed, his life began changing. He doesn't even have those memories anymore. Hmm. It's gone away from him because he's no longer resonating at that frequency. He's not picking up that vibe anymore. He's on to his life. So I think there's a lot to be said that, you know, like you said, as we look back on this and where I started, when we launched our show on January 1st, 2006, where I launched off from and I believed certain things to be true, those have been challenged time and time again.
Yep.
Everything from what is a ghost to, you know, time travel to conspiracy theories and things like the Mandela effect. They're constantly challenged and constantly changing and evolving. And something that I believe to be true today, you could go back and listen to the show 5 years ago and then 10 years ago, and you'll hear totally different aspects of what I believe to be true, because you can't stay stagnant in this field. There's so much new things to look at. But with that said, I don't think that we've advanced very far from when people started looking at this 200-300 years ago and trying to give it a scientific approach, which may be why science has given up on it, because there is no solid answer and we'll never really know the answer. It's just a rabbit hole we continually chase down, and it's, you know, let's put more focus on cancer and, you know, environmental safety instead of ghosts. Because in the end, once we figure out what a ghost is, what does it really matter? How does it really play into effect, except for the theologic discussion of that life continues once we leave here, which is what people want to believe anyway.
Yeah, it's funny because people will say, well, don't you run out of things to talk about? And I'm like, are you kidding? We're never going to run out of things to talk about, because these are the greatest mysteries really in our lives. And again, one topic opens up 50 others, you could just talk about this stuff forever. We could talk to Dave Schrader about this stuff forever, but it, really, if you want to hear more of him, you should check out Darkness Radio. And of course, his guest appearances on Coast to Coast AM as a guest host. Dave, where can everybody plug into everything that you do? And then also, I know you have an appearance on television towards the end of this month, I believe in July. Tell us about all of that stuff.
Well, again, the best way to keep up with me is on darknessradio.com. Go to our website. There's links to my Facebook, my Twitter accounts, all of that, so you can keep up with what we're doing. Darknessevents.com. That follows where we're going to be visiting throughout the year and the great locations we go see and experience the paranormal. So those are the best ways to do it. And yeah, I'll be appearing on Ghost Adventures at the end of July. I think the last Saturday of the month, I'll be on Ghost Adventures, where I take the boys out on a different type of adventure. Although it's definitely got ghosts involved, there's quite a bit more going on, which is one of those moments we just spoke about. Is it a nexus of paranormal activity? Everything from UFOs to cryptid monsters to ghosts have been seen and witnessed on this property by multiple people. And I go with the Ghost Adventures crew to investigate and take a peek at it. So keep your eyes tuned for that episode as well. But Jim, I want to thank you. You know, you're again one of the forerunners in this field of paranormal talk radio, and you are one of the people I listen to and continue to listen to and enjoy your shows. I think you're a great attribute to our field, and I hope you continue doing this for a very long time, sir.
Well, that is the plan. We'll see how it works out, but that's the plan. And same to you. I mean, we're kind of contemporaries. We started right around the same time. So when I see all your successes, I'm rooting for you and pulling for you and very proud of the things that you've done, and so glad that you've been so accepted and so followed. I think it's fantastic. And we appreciate your time today. Thanks for being a guest on the Paranormal Podcast.
Anytime. Thank you, Jim, and thank you to all your listeners.
And thank you, audience. We certainly appreciate it. Of course, if you enjoy the shows, please give us a 4 or 5 star rating on iTunes and fill out a 2 or 3 sentence note about why you enjoy the programs, whether it's this or the campfire. Please tell your friends. We would appreciate ever so much. We don't have a big marketing budget, but we have something more important. We have you. We'll talk to you next time on the Paranormal Podcast. Have a great week.
Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.